Thank you. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention, same as this morning. So there'll be a ladies' morning tea this coming Wednesday from 10 a.m. in the church hall. Also a men's Bible study on Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. in the church hall. And on the 29th of March, Sunday the 29th of March, we'll be having a fellowship meal after church, after the 10 a.m. service. So the church will provide pizza and drinks if you are thinking of attending. And if you can and able are able to, please bring a salad or a dessert. If you're not able to, that's fine. Just bring yourself. We'll be having a fellowship meal after church on the 29th of March. Then looking ahead to Easter, we'll be having a early morning service followed by a breakfast and then the normal 10 a.m. service. So that's a service at 7 a.m. followed by a breakfast and then the normal 10 a.m. service. And importantly, on that date, there will be no evening service. So this service will not be happening on the 5th of April, so please do bear that in mind. And then remember, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to make mentioned in the announcements, either text that to the pastor before the service or place your request in the prayer box at the back. In terms of prayer requests, I do have a few to read and to consider. So firstly, there's a cane basket at the back, of church for gifts for Wendy. Also a card, or for anyone that wants to sign and send a note of encouragement to her. This is an update from her husband. It says, "Dear praying friends, thank you for your prayers. Wendy is doing well and in good spirits. The only sore part at the moment is her left inner lower forearm, where they took a graft from. The doctors are happy with everything. Please pray that all graft areas will take well." So please continue to pray for Wendy. Also for Jan, Ted's husband, Ted's wife. Ted passed away this week. And Jan, as a result, suffered a heart attack. And she's in hospital recovering. Please pray for her and the pain that she's going through and the loss of her husband and what life looks for her in the looks like for her in the future. Also for Aaron and Andrew and Liam, and any family as well. Please keep them in your prayers at this time. And with that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We'll have our message after this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for giving us your Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, as we, especially as we approach this Easter time, help us to really contemplate the power of salvation that is in Christ and in Him alone. How He lived a sinless life and at the end of His life went to the cross to make atonement for our sins. It was our sins, Lord, that brought Him to the cross. When you judged Him, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was not for anything that he did, but it was the punishment for our iniquities and our transgressions that bruised him, that wounded him, and that fell upon his head, that we might be saved and saved from eternal punishment that was due to us. We thank you, Lord, and we often can't fathom the weight of this salvation, Lord, and we just pray that you would open our eyes and hearts, even as Christians, help us, give us a burden to share this message with our families and friends, those who don't know your Son. Lord, there's salvation through nobody else except the Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would grant us a real burden for souls to see them come to a saving knowledge of Christ and to be saved from the wrath to come. Help us, Lord, to be loving one another as Christ loved his disciples. teach us, Lord, to bear with one another and to build one another up in love. And Lord, in all that we do, our testimony as we go throughout our life and anything that we're doing, even the small things, help us to do it to your glory and not in our own strength, in yours, that you may receive glory in everything and that Christ's mission here on earth may be advanced. And we do pray, Lord, that your will would be done throughout all the world, that the gospel would go out in power and that many would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We know that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we pray and trust that as we faithfully preach your word, that you would give the increase and that you would bring many to yourself. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in the church, those who are suffering. Pray for special grace at this time for Jan after the loss of Ted and for Aaron and Andrew and Liam. Lord, we just pray that you would undertake for them. Thank you for Ted's testimony of knowing you. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we trust that he's in glory right now. And Lord, we thank you for his testimony and the impact that he's had on our lives. I know that the impact he's had on my life has been a real blessing, and we pray that we would continue strong, but be with Aaron and family and Jan as well during this time, and for anyone else that's lost loved ones and your children that are hurting, Lord, would you just undertake for them and be a father to the widows and the widowers. And Lord, just help each one in their situation. Father, we ask that you would be with the pastor as he brings your word. Please help him to speak your truth boldly. Help us who hear to understand and to apply the truths to our lives. And in all things, Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified, and we commit the rest of this evening and the rest of our week to you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Does Jan have an... All right, good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. Just a word or two. We were talking with Jan, went up to be with her for a few minutes before the service tonight, and she has an angiogram scheduled for tomorrow. And Erin, her daughter, would rather her not have one of those. She'd rather her have a step down, whatever that is, without the balloon. So do the same thing with the dye, but without the balloon. So pray that the doctors will have wisdom and that they will be able to work her in. And so pray for Miss Jan. And she seemed in good spirits today when we were there, but pray for her. Turn your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 22. And as you turn, may I just mention, we do have more Easter brochures in the back. Praise the Lord, all of them got taken. Were taken this morning. So please take an Easter brochure or two or three or whatever you can give out. And this time of year is a wonderful time to invite people to church. People will come to church on Easter, on Mother's Day, and Christmas like they'll not come any other time. And so please invite folks to come. And it would be wonderful to see visitors with us on Sunday. Not going to read the verses again tonight. We'll just wait until we get there in just a little bit. But I am going to ask you, what would you do if you knew that you only had 24 hours to live? What would you do? How would you spend that time? If you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do with that time? And really, we're comparing it to the Lord Jesus, and he only had. Can I just mention, and I think I have mentioned, will you turn with me, hold your place here at Luke, and turn with me to John chapter 13. John 13. John 13, and this is nothing that's out of this world interesting, but it is to me. So John 13 starts with the last Passover. And John 13, turn with me to John 14, and then to John 15, and then to John 16, and then to John 17, where we will be a lot tonight, John 18, John 19. That's all. So chapters 13 through 19, though that's six huge chapters, they cover just a very, very few hours of our Lord's life. They cover his last 24 hours. If you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do? And someone took a survey, and these were not necessarily at all Christian people. Someone took a survey. They asked people, what would you do if you only had 24 hours to live? And one person said, I would arrange a gathering with close family and friends to share a meal, reminisce about cherished memories, and offer words of appreciation of love. Another person said that they would rob a bank. What you gonna do with what you get? But anyway. Another person said, I would just want to eat a cupcake. Well, all right. Another person said, I would get stung by a jellyfish. Okay. Another person said, I would finish writing my book. Another said, I would go skydiving. I could say that another person put, I would go scuba diving. Another person said, I would send a couple of emails. I would send a couple of emails. Another person said, I would see my kids. Another person said, I would call my family and friends and tell them that I love them. Another person said, I would fly to South Korea and spend all my money on K-pop merchandise. I wasn't sure what all that was, but anyway. Someone else said, I would rack up a huge amount of debt on my credit card. And then the last one said, I would pay off my student loans. I want to die with good credit. These people had some time to think about it. And that's what they said. What would you say? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus, he knew that his hour was coming. He knew that his hours, that appointed hour, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world, Romans 5 tells us, to die on the cross for our sins. And because of that, he knew his time was coming. And he knew exactly when he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew how he was going to be treated. He knew his last 24 hours. So I have a question for you. In the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, we've sort of thought about maybe what we would do. I have a question for you. In his last 24 hours, the Bible records how many prayers that he prayed. How many prayers did the Lord Jesus pray in that last 24 hours? And the answer is, it might surprise you. Maybe not. But he prayed 8 prayers. He prayed 8 prayers in those 24 hours. From the Last Supper onwards, he was constantly, or it was his norm, it was what he did. It was just natural for him to pray. It seems as if prayer was Jesus' go-to response. In fact, in Luke 22, this is our one we're looking at now, and in John 17, it mentions it. The third one's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The fourth one, fifth one, those are him in the garden, and then on the cross, the 3 times that he prays on the cross. Time and time again, our Lord was praying. And it just seems as if prayer was Jesus' go-to response during those last 24 hours. Let me ask you something. What is your go-to response as you're going through your life? How natural is praying to us? Is praying something that we do when all else fails? When we're at church? Or only during family or personal devotions? Or do we pray throughout the day as opportunities occur? Is that something that we do? Jesus exampled this thing of prayer. Paul did too. Paul constantly, throughout his scriptures, throughout his writings, he said, I'm praying for you, praying. And he encourages us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Let it be that which you do. Just stay in touch with the Lord. Stay in touch with the Lord. And it really does change our view of life. It changes where we're going, how we're looking at things as we're yielding things to the Lord. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Just be devoted to prayer. Let prayer be that which you do. Let prayer be that which encourages you to keep on keeping on. James tells us that we need to be praying for wisdom. If we're not sure what to do, how to do, what, when to do, that we should be praying for wisdom. Paul in 1 Timothy tells us that I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So it should be something that it marks our lives, that not just our last 24 hours, that I reckon that's what I'm saying, is that if it's going to mark our last 24 hours, it'll be marking the rest of our days too. It should be. So let's look at a couple of these tonight. In Jesus' last 24 hours, let's look at those. The first one is Jesus gave thanks during the Lord's Supper. Jesus gave thanks during the Lord's Supper. So back to Luke chapter 22. And we're looking at the last Passover. By the way, next Sunday morning we're planning to do the Lord's Supper. And I'm not sure if that's in the bulletin or not, but we're planning to do the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. So please keep that in mind. Luke 22, verse 14 says, and when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Now he knew that hour was come. He knew the suffering that was right around the corner for him. He knew that his disciples were going to reject him. He knew that when he got to the high priest and before him, that he was going to be slapped, and that later he would be crowned with thorns, that he would be beaten. And yet it says, here he is with his disciples, and he said unto them with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Same word as a noun and as a verb. He just says, you know what? I've been looking forward to this time. It says in verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. So he took the cup, and he gave thanks. And the fact that he said that he knew that it represented his body, that he knew the suffering that he was going to go through, he was still willing to do it. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So despite the things that he's getting ready to face, despite the things that he's facing now, he's still willing to give thanks. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. Here the Lord is. He's focused. He says, with great desire, I've wanted to be here with you. He gives thanks for the fact that he's going to shed his blood. He gives thanks for the fact that he's going to suffer on our behalf. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He is giving thanks. How about us this evening? Are we thankful? Paul tells us time and time again. He says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And let the peace of God, I think that's actually verse 18. Maybe that's right. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So we are to be a thankful people. We are to be a thankful people. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing. Don't let whatever situation you're facing stress you out. Don't let it cause you to lose your way, to go to pieces. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me ask you, what difficulty, what hardship, what problem are you facing this evening? Are you willing to give it to the Lord? Are you willing to trust Him with it? And you may say, well, you don't know what it is. Well, maybe I don't, but the Lord does. He tells us not to go to pieces, but to pray and ask the Lord to move, to work, and for His will to be done. He says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we're going through difficulties, when we're going through good times, the good times we've got to guard our minds too, because we can become proud, we can become self-focused. We just need to keep our focus on Him. So this week, this is our task. This week, in a time that you could be most tempted to be upset by circumstances, wrongly controlled by emotions, or out of control altogether, give thanks to God for His presence, His provision, His plan, and His protection. So sometime this week, or any time this week, you're tempted to just be upset and to lose the plot. Start giving thanks for the Lord's presence, for His provision, for His plan and protection in your life. Second prayer I want us to consider is in John 17. Let's go there. John 17, if you'll turn there with me. John 17 this evening. This is a prayer between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. It's after His washing the disciples' feet, His having the Lord's Supper with them. He teaches them for a while before they go. And this whole chapter is a prayer. It's Him talking to the Lord. It's Him talking to the Lord, and it's just a magnificent chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So in those verses, he's thanking the Lord that He's giving eternal life to those who are His children. Verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And folks, that's what Paul said. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And you know what? We can do that too. We can do that too. It's just a matter of keeping our focus on the Lord. He's told everybody that He was supposed to tell. He's lived the life He should have lived. He's finished the work that He was given to do. And you know, the beautiful thing is you don't have to do the work that God has given someone else. You just do the work the Lord's given you. That's what we do. We don't have to do the work that the Lord wants someone else doing. We just do the work that He has for us. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me, He says. Glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, two themes are going to be time and time again in these verses. First of all, and we've already read it, and it's even here two times in the first verse there, about glorifying in glory. God, the Lord Jesus, glorified his Father. He gave the right opinion about who his Father is. He always pointed to the Father. And then the last verse, the last word of that verse, we're going to see that word in there time and time again, his word. How important God's word is in our lives. Let me ask you, are you making God's word an important part of your life daily? Are you reading it? Are you praying over it? Are you learning it? You're going to see that the Lord was focused on the importance of his word in his disciples' lives. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, you're talking about confidence. This, if you go back to John 13 just for a minute, go back there with me. They know that they've come out, that I've come from you and that I'm going back to you. Look at John 13:1 just for a minute, the confidence that gave Jesus. Verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He knew that he had come from his Father, and he knew that's exactly where he was going back. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Sorry. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be filled. So again, in his prayer, another theme is the Lord's keeping power. Jude, turn there with me. The book of Jude is right before Revelation. God's keeping power. Jude chapter 1, verse 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. So he's pointing to God's keeping power. And now I come to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word again. The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. By the way, if someone in the world hates you, it hated the Lord first. If someone doesn't like the fact that you go to church, you don't swear like they do, you don't live like they do, and they know that you're a follower of Jesus, tick the box. Just be glad for that and just say, well, I hope that person knows the Lord is Savior, but the Lord told me it was coming. He says, I have given them thy word. I've given them thy word, and that is so important. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now, he was in the world. And by the way, I hope you have unsaved people that you know. I hope you have unsaved people that you rub shoulders with. I hope that none of us, we're in the world. We're in the world. We shouldn't live in a cocoon. We should be rubbing shoulders. Now, not living the same way as they do. Yeah, we eat and we work and all that stuff, but even the way we work, the way we live, what we're living for is different. So if we have unsaved friends, pray for them. I don't think he's saying here that we're to be so separated, because how are we going to reach out? The Lord was constantly, though he says he's not of the world, though he was not of the world, he was constantly mingling among unsaved people. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Again, the importance of his word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Again, the reference to his word. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which should believe on me through their word. That includes us. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Unity in the church, so important. Doesn't mean that we all pull for the Cowboys. That's not what unity is. Doesn't mean that we all love fish. It doesn't mean that we, on Monday, we all wear the same clothes. But unity of purpose, unity of wanting to follow the Lord. And in fact, this unity thing in a family, this unity thing in the church, this unity thing at work, I hope at work, I hope we're not divisive. I hope we're not the ones talking the boss down. I hope at church we're not the ones causing trouble. I hope in the home we're not the ones being divisive. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, it's work. It's work. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. By the way, a whole different message, but the Lord wants you in glory with Him. He wants us in glory with Him. He's looking forward to our being with Him. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Again, the emphasis on His Word, the emphasis on His relationship with them. It reminds me of when Acts, when Paul was leaving the Ephesian elders, he said this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Having the right purpose, being in His Word, keys, whether it's our last 24 hours or not, keys to our following Him. So be thankful this week and be in His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray You would help us to be in Your Word this week, to learn from the Lord Jesus. Even as the battles, the difficulties came, I'm sure all hell was breaking loose in some ways. As He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He was having the Last Supper with His disciples. And I pray, Father, that as we go throughout our days, and there's tough days that happens, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to know that even if there is the demonic part happening around us, that You are in control and that we can trust You. Help us to pray. Help us to follow You. Help us to be thankful. And Lord, help us to be yielded to You. Thank You for each one here tonight, and I pray You dismiss us now in Your care, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. The Lord bless you heaps. Get your scriptures if you would like to. Thank you.